This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with Lynn, Chuang and Sharitz. Now, it is 9:19 in the morning and the KLCI has been open for just under 20 minutes. And how's it looking now, Chuang?
It's coming back a little bit. Earlier, they dropped the KLCI dropped as much as, maybe 13, 14 points to about 1,590 points. It's coming back a bit. Now it's trading at 1,595 points. There's been some pairing of declines in companies like Maybank, Maxis Public and Ecovest, having earlier dropped by larger quantums. Now Maxis is trading at 535, Maybank at 891, Public at 2238, Ecovest at 77.5, and Petronas Chemicals at 846, after having dropped as much as 5.5%.
The KLCI is still about 5 points below the psychological 1600 threshold. Now, at budget 2019, the government tabled a new digital tax of 6% on foreign digital service providers, and that's set to be imposed from January 1st of next year. And this tax on consumers was to broaden the existing 6% sales and service tax to include foreign digital service providers, because currently SST is only imposed on local digital service providers. So to help us understand some more about the digital tax, Wang Xiaoning speaks to Jeremy Goh, head of research at Hong Leong Investment Bank, to get some colour on the digital tax and to see whether it benefits any particular sector or stock.
Why is the Malaysian government imposing this digital tax on foreign service providers, and how will it be enforced?
Okay, good morning, Xiaoning. First of all, I think it's important to note that this so-called digital tax is not a new tax per se. It's merely an extension of the existing sales and service tax, or what we call SST 2.0, to encapsulate foreign digital service providers, which currently do not pay for service tax when they sell in Malaysia. Now, so starting from 1st January next year, foreign service providers such as your Netflix and Spotify will have to pay a 6% service tax on sales that they generate in Malaysia. Now, the most obvious reason why this is being done is to ensure a level playing field between the locals and the foreigners. Take, for example, subscribers to local OTT platforms like your iFlix or Dim Sum, they have to pay a 6% tax, but this doesn't apply for Netflix and creates an unlevel playing field in favor of the foreigner. Now, if we were to talk about enforcement, this, of course, is the tricky part. One possible way in which enforcement can be done by the Malaysian government on foreign providers that do not register for this tax is to, for example, block their websites or block their apps. Or perhaps the Malaysian government can work with local banks to block payment transactions made to foreign service providers that refuse to sign up for the tax.
And globally, how prevalent is this digital tax on foreign service providers?
Okay, so far there are currently 19 countries that are taxing foreign service providers. The earliest one was Norway, which implemented in 2011. For all of these 19 countries that have the digital tax, these are all merely an extension of the existing consumption tax, like your GST and your VAT, to include foreign service providers to pay for them as well. Now, apart from these 19 countries which have already implemented it, there are another 9 countries, including Malaysia and Singapore, that are planning to roll out this digital tax.
And if we use Norway as an example, since they were the earliest, how successful were they in enforcing this digital tax?
Okay, I really don't have the exact numbers on how much they generate or how strong is the enforcement, but I think most other countries, when they have decided to implement this digital tax, have kind of used Norway as a benchmark.
Okay. And if how much tax revenue can the Malaysian government expect to collect by imposing this digital tax on the foreign service providers?
Okay, now based on our channel checks with some of the government officials, they are looking at a range of between 300 to 500 million per annum. Now, we have also run our own estimates, and we are forecasting it to range to be around 450 million, which is also within the range projected by the government. Now, how we arrive at 450 million per annum is basically benchmarked against what Korea estimates that it can collect annually, which is about 400 billion Korean won. But of course, we have to adjust this for country differences such as population size, internet penetration rate, and also the differences in the tax rates. Now, on a bigger scheme of things, 450 million is really not that much for Malaysia in terms of incremental tax revenue, as it would barely move the budget deficit needle, which is projected to be about 3% in 2020. And with the digital tax in, it probably will reduce it a bit slightly downwards to about 2.97%. So, like I said, barely moving the budget deficit needle.
And why did you use South Korea as an example of how much tax we perhaps can collect?
Okay, for a very simple reason, actually, which is because there are a very limited number of comparables within Asia. In fact, if we were to look at the number of countries in Asia that have actually done the digital tax, it's really just Japan, which did it in 2015, and Taiwan in 2017, while South Korea will be the third country in Asia to do this come July this year. Now, we have used South Korea as a comparable amongst these three Asian countries simply because of the availability of tax revenue estimates that this digital tax would generate for Korea. And this kind of gives us a base to benchmark against when we form our estimates for Malaysia.
And what sectors or stocks do you think will be affected by this digital tax?
All right. On the surface, it appears that the media sector, namely your pay TV and your local OTT platforms, will be impacted positively by this digital tax. However, if we were to dwell into the specifics or into the company specifics, the potential impact from this tax appears to be rather muted for the local players. Now, take Astro, for example, which many argue has lost some degree of subscribers to Netflix. When this digital tax kicks in, the entry price for Netflix in Malaysia will increase by 6% to about RM44.50 a month. Now, this will still be about 40% cheaper than Astro's entry package for non-vernacular movies. So I think that the price gap will still be quite large, and I don't think there will be any price-driven substitution from Netflix back to Astro just because of this 6% tax. In the case of local OTT players like Dim Sum, which is owned by Star, their pricing is about RM13.90 per month, which is, of course, much lower than what Netflix is charging. But we also have to bear in mind that the target markets for both are very, very different. Dim Sum targets the Chinese-speaking segment, while Netflix targets the English ones.
So this digital tax, in essence, will not change consumer behavior very much?
We don't expect a significant change, that is right.
And that was Jeremy Goh, head of research at Hong Leong Investment Bank, speaking to Wong Xiaoning. Now, he said that the digital tax is unlikely to change consumer behavior at all, since the tax is only 6% and the actual amount that's going to be paid is quite small. I mean, after all, who's really going to cancel their Netflix subscriptions over this? Now, that's all the corporate news that we have for you today. After the 9:30 news, Roshan Kanisen will speak to Hari Sivan, CEO of SoCash, a fintech firm planning to decentralize the cash supply chain. So stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.